The Lord repeats Himself many times in the Word, and I'm so thankful for that. And I'm so thankful He repeats Himself to me over and over when He's trying to tell me something. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to fear that you're going to miss God. Because He's so patient. He'll keep telling you. And if you just continue to ignore Him on purpose, He'll eventually stop. But He's long-suffering. Not like us sometimes. We have little patience with people. He is so long-suffering toward us. When you're trying your best to hear from the Lord, He'll get through to you. He'll keep on. If you're doing your best to hear from Him, to hear what He wants you to do, He'll get through. Thank you, Jesus. As I've said before, as the Israelites looked forward, they looked forward in faith to what the Messiah was going to do. And then when He came, that was that time, 2,000 years ago, and now we look backward in faith to what's already been done. But He's ever living. He always was. The whole Old Testament is about Jesus. It's a revelation of Jesus, if you have the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. You know, when I first became a believer, I began studying, and I was totally amazed. Not just the prophecies, but there is so much that can be gained. Because it's all a pattern. It's all a blueprint of the new dispensation. It was temporary. But our dispensation is eternal. It has so much greater glory than anything that came before. And now the law is written on our hearts. Not on tablets of stone, but on our hearts. God did that. You can't save yourself. You can't help yourself. Nobody can be good enough. Amen. Nobody can be pure enough. It has to be the Lord doing it through you. Hallelujah. And He will if you'll give Him a chance. And over it, over the ark, the cherubim of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, overlooking. Angels were always overlooking everything that was done. Jesus told Nicodemus, I believe it was, that, no, it wasn't Nicodemus. It was Zacchaeus, the guy in the tree. He said, no, I don't remember. Anyway, Nathaniel maybe. Forgive me. But Jesus told the guy that you'll see angels ascending and descending. You'll see heaven open, and you'll see angels ascending and descending. The angels were there at the birth. The angels were there when He was in agony in the garden. The angels were there when He was in the temptation in the wilderness. And the angels were there at the ascension. And angels are sent forth for us to minister on our behalf, those that are heirs of salvation. We can use the angels. They're for us to be used by us. The Bible says so. And they hearken, in Psalms it says they hearken to the word of the Lord. So when you're speaking the word of God, angels are released to bring that word to pass.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You're never alone. So He says, of which we cannot now speak particularly. And in other words, there's too much detail. It's too much to go into at this time. And evidently He felt it wasn't necessary to go into all the detail. But you can, if you want to study the details, like I said, it's in Exodus about 25 through 27, somewhere along in there. Verse 6, now when these things were thus ordained, see, a lot of people just say, well, we don't live by that anymore. And they don't even want to read the Old Testament. These things were ordained by God. And we have a new and living way ordained by God, and we need to learn about it. We need to study to show ourselves approved. We need to learn His way so that we don't try to get there our own way. By our own works or any other plan that we may have. We need to know what His way is. And He made us three-part beings, just like the tabernacle and the temple. Three parts, spirit, soul, and body. The body is the outer court, so to speak. The outer part. It's what people see. It's what all the people see. They don't see the holy place. They don't see the holiest of holies. The Holy of Holies. The outer part is your physical body. Verse 6, now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. We need to accomplish all that God has set out for us to do. In Ephesians, he says that the works for us were prepared before the foundation of the world. Isn't that good news? You're not here by accident. It was prepared before the foundation of the world. The works that God has for you, the plan he has for your life is a good and wonderful plan. He wants you to walk in it. He's had it planned and prepared before the foundation of the earth. That is so comforting to me sometimes when I feel like I'm not accomplishing the things that God wants me to, or I get impatient with the plan of God. I say, he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He who started a good work in you will complete it. And you can, that'll comfort you about other people that you think, you wish they'd just come on with God, or maybe they're not even, maybe they don't care about God, but at one time they did. You can say, God is the author, he's the finisher. He never starts a job and doesn't complete it like we do sometimes. He always finishes his work. Whatever he starts, he will finish. He will perfect that which concerns us. He promised that. It's his work. He drew you. You couldn't come if he didn't draw you by his Spirit. He drew you by his Spirit. He opened his arms. If people could just see how much he loves them. So much love he has for all the people. And we need to stop judging the world so much and begin loving them. Because that's what they need, and that's what we need to do, and that's what we're called to do, to love them. That's what's going to draw them into the kingdom. They already know they're sinners. They've already received enough condemnation. Because they're under condemnation if they don't know the Lord. And we need to love them and allow the Holy Spirit to draw them through us. That's how he does it. He works through. He has chosen to work through people. That is so wonderful. He has chosen us to be co-partners, co-laborers. You know, if you're a joint heir with someone, that means you have equal share. Husbands and wives, they're joint heirs. They have equal share, equal partnership. Oh, hallelujah, if we could just grasp the equal partnership with Jesus. That's what we have. That's what the Bible says. We are joint heirs. We have everything that he has. God has given all things to us. All things. We have no need for lack in any shape, form, or fashion. Hallelujah. We can just get our minds renewed to believe. You can't believe unless you're told. And we need to be told over and over and over. It's a daily process to die to the principles of the world. The principles of human nature. But we're not human nature anymore. What's flesh is flesh. What's spirit is spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So we can accomplish the service of God. It's not just for the ministers anymore. There are those that are called to a teaching or preaching or evangelist type of ministry. But how many of you know that the people that put the toilet paper in the restrooms, that's pretty doggone important. You know, that's important. Do everything as unto the Lord. I appreciate every ministry. Everyone has a part. There is no one that's left out. You have a part. And not one part has greater glory than any part. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, well, I take that back because the scripture is correcting me as I go. The parts that aren't seen as much, the Bible says they have greater glory.
Amen.
You know, your heart is a lot more important than your hand. You can live if you cut your hand off, but you can't live without a heart. You can't live without a liver. You know, and a liver has a pretty yucky job. It takes all the poisons out of your body. Some people have yucky jobs, you know, and we need to all be willing. You know, if you see a piece of paper in front of you, don't just leave it to someone else. You can pick it up.
Amen.
Be a servant, and the Lord will reward you. It wouldn't hurt you to bring some toilet paper once in a while, you know. We can do that. I tell you, that's wonderful. Because I've been without those things, and the Lord moved on someone, and I didn't have to tell anybody. You never have to beg. As a child of God, you never have to beg. Never. You don't even have to ask. You have to ask God. He says, ask so that you can receive, and you have not because you ask not. But you don't have to ask people. I've been in dire straits before, and I never asked. I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, you know what we need. And He supernaturally moved on people to bring toilet paper to my door and diapers and money when I looked like I didn't need money. I had nice clothes. I still had the same jewelry and the same clothes that I had before and a nice car. I didn't look like I needed money. Don't judge by the outward appearance. You never know sometimes. If you'll open yourself up and be willing to be a blessing. The Lord, you know, I've had people pass money and say, somebody passed this up to give to you, and they don't want to even for it to be known who they are. And the Lord only knew that I did not even have enough gas to get back home from the church. Hallelujah. If you'll be faithful to the Lord. That's when, back in those days, that's when I learned how to tithe. I hadn't been tithing. I thought, well, that's just Old Testament stuff. We don't live by the law. But if you don't tithe, and if you're not a faithful tither, you're robbing God, the Bible says. And it talks about the tithe in the New Testament too. If you need money, you've got to give.
Amen.
It's not like in the world, if you have a lack and you try to save and conserve. If you need food, give away what little bit of food you may have. You know, like the widow with the little bit of meal you have to give to get in the kingdom of God. That's just the way it works. You can't do it your own way. You know, He may be merciful to you and not let you starve, but you won't be blessed in abundance if you don't do it His way. And I had to learn to do it His way. You see, I was doing it by what I thought. And I was suffering lack. I don't suffer lack anymore because I've learned to do it His way. And it's just such a joy to give. And, you know, I just want Him to give me more so I'll have more to give. It's a good kind of gardening. You know, you need seeds to sow. Say, give me seeds to sow, Lord. He'll give it to you if you ask for it for that reason. If you begin asking anything from God, whether it be money, whether it be health, whether it be peace, whether it be deliverance or salvation for your family, if you begin asking anything from God, you have to ask for the right reasons. He said, you have not because you ask not, and you ask amiss because you want to spend it on your own lust. And I've told before that when I needed healing in the past, I wanted to be healed so I could be a better mother. Well, there's no sin in that, you know, real sin in that. There's nothing wrong with that. We want to be good mothers and fulfill our duty for whatever we're called to do. But the Lord showed me that if I will begin asking for healing so that I can be a servant, so that He can use me for His glory, and I got healed. And I used to cry all the time, every day, Lord, heal me. I felt so bad that I couldn't do the things that I needed to do for my children and with my children. But when I started asking for healing to serve the Lord, to seek the kingdom of God first and not being a mother, that comes secondary. All those things are secondary. If you seek the kingdom of God first and to accomplish, as in verse 6, to accomplish what He has before ordained for you, if you'll seek that first, He'll add everything you need to do it. If you get a mind to want to preach and travel for God, He'll give you the money. You don't have to be held back by anything.
Amen.
But if you are wanting those things to satisfy yourself, to satisfy your own flesh, and God wants to provide, He wants you to be healthy and happy and prosperous, but that's not why we seek those things. We seek the kingdom of God first. Hallelujah. And we can go all the way, all the way. We don't have to stop at the holy place. We can go all the way in. I may go through quickly a few more verses. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year. I've already said that. Not without blood. No way to go in without the blood. You may try to get to God every other way, and there are a lot of other ways in the world, but they ain't the way to God.
Amen.
I tried them. I tried just about all of them. So you don't have to do it. You can just listen to me. And they did not get me there. I thought that Jesus was just one way among many. And I said, well, you know, I grew up with that and it didn't really get me anywhere, so I'm going to try all these other ways. Because I was really seeking God. But I was doing my own way, what I thought, what I understood. And you have to do it His way. And there is no other way. But it's a great way, and it's so easy. It's not like the other ways where you have to sit in weird positions for hours and wear a certain kind of clothes and pray a certain time in a certain way and all the right words and do everything just exactly right. Hallelujah, it's already been done. The way has already been made. All you need is the blood. The blood. The blood of Jesus sprinkled on you, in you, it purifies you, and you can enter right in into the Holy of Holies. The way is open. When He was crucified, that veil was torn in two to show that now is the new and living way. And all the other was just a blueprint, a pattern leading up to that. And it's so glorious. You know, if people knew what it would be like, they wouldn't hesitate. They wouldn't even bother trying anything else. But they don't know and they don't understand. But He had mercy on me. And if you pray for them, He'll have mercy on them. Don't give up on them. So Jesus had to have blood when He entered into that holiest place, the Holy of Holies. He had to have blood. And it was His own blood. His own blood that He offered. For the errors of the people. Did you know you can do that? That's part of the priestly ministry. You don't need to talk about people's sins and people's errors. You need to pray for them. Amen. You need to offer the blood of Jesus for their errors. You need Amen. To pray for them. Not condemn them or can judge them or talk about or judge them or talk about them. But pray for them. Offer the blood of Jesus for their errors. If you're praying for someone to get saved, just say, I plead the blood of Jesus for this person. I apply the blood of Jesus. That's what the priest did, and that's what you have the right to do because you're called to be priests. You have the right to do that, the privilege to do that, to apply the blood of Jesus for people, for their errors. And not just those that don't know the Lord and don't understand, but when you see your brethren, you don't need to talk about them and criticize them and judge them. But you need to offer that blood for them because it ever lives. The Holy Ghost, this signifying. See, that's what we need. Not living by the letter of the law, but what the Holy Ghost signifies through it to us. It's alive. It's alive. It's not the dead letter. Not anymore. If it was just the letter, then all the ultra-Orthodox Jewish people would be saved. All the scholars would be saved because they study the Word backwards and forwards. But it's not the letter. You must have the Spirit signifying what the letter, because it's written in your heart. So when you read the Word, or when you speak the Word, it's making connection with the Spirit of God in you, bringing life and accomplishing what it's meant to accomplish. Like when the Lord said, let there be light. It accomplished that. You have the same privilege. When you speak the Word of God, it's alive because of the Spirit of God in you. And as we just said, the angels hearken to that Word. That's why you need to be so careful what you speak. So careful. And speak only according to the Word, regardless of how you feel. And that is not an easy task. When you're hurting, you know, if I don't have money, I don't ever say, Well, I try not to, and if I do, I repent immediately. I try not to say, I don't have any money. You know, if the boys say, can we get this or that? I try not to say, I don't have any money. Because my God has all the gold and silver in the universe. My Father has all the riches. He's got the bank. He's my banker. And I say, well, I don't have the money with me right now. I'll need to make a withdrawal. Amen. So stop saying what's not according to the Word. If you say, I don't have any money, you're not speaking according to the Word. And don't think that someone, if you say, you know, that you're doing fine, don't think that, well, they won't give me any money if I say that, because they'll think I'm doing fine. If they're listening to the Lord will show them, and they'll bless you anyway. If you need the money, He will get it to you, especially if you speak according to His Word. Thank you, Lord. Signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. So the veil was there. It was not yet made manifest. But now, it was a mystery. You know, a mystery is not something that's hard to understand. It's just hidden. A mystery is something hidden, and it's not hidden anymore. We can know the mysteries of God, the Bible says. The Spirit reveals them to us. The way is wide open, and there's plenty of room. It's not a small little area anymore with darkness where you need a candlelight and everything. We have the light of the Lord, and there's room enough for all. Praise the Lord. That is the good news. That is the gospel. And that's what we need to speak. There is room for all. Room for all. No matter how bad the situation looks, if they can feel the Spirit of God in you and see the glory in you, because the glory was in the Holy of Holies. That's where the glory was. And that glory is in you. You have to make a connection with it. You know, Paul said many times that he used the word flesh. We have two words. We have flesh and we have body and we have carnal mind. In Greek, there's only one. There's only one word, and it means flesh and it means carnal mind and it means body. And you have to have the Holy Spirit a lot of times. Sometimes it's plain and clear. Sometimes you have to have the Holy Spirit to reveal what the word means. Whether He means your carnal mind or whether He means your body. But sometimes we refer to flesh and we mean the carnal mind or human nature. But sometimes we may use the word flesh, and we're talking about this stuff here. And I said that I was talking about the difference between praise and worship. And I said that praise is in or of the flesh or something like that. What I was saying is praise, the word praise, halal in Hebrew, is of the body. And I'm not talking about, you know, you've heard this thing that you begin in the flesh. That's not scriptural. I hate to mess you up, but that's not scriptural. And I may have even said it myself, but the Lord revealed to me that's not scriptural. We are in the Spirit. Romans 8 said we're not of the flesh. What's flesh is flesh. What's spirit is spirit. If you're born of God, you are in the Spirit. You should be walking in the Spirit, talking in the Spirit, eating in the Spirit, amen, drinking in the Spirit, bathing in the Spirit, brushing your teeth in the Spirit, going to the bathroom in the Spirit, praising in the Spirit, worshiping in the Spirit, and living in the Spirit. Because we're in the heavenlies. We've been raised, amen, up to sit together with Him in heavenly places. We walk in the heavenlies. We're not of the world. We're in it, but we're not of it. We are in the heavenlies now.
Amen.
Now. You don't have to wait to enter in until you die. You know, a lot of people think you have to wait to go into the glory. Where the glory is in the Holy of Holies. You don't have to wait till you die to enter the glory. That's why the veil was rent. Yes, we go from glory to glory. You can walk in to the glory. So we begin praising in the Spirit. But what I meant was the outer court. You enter into His courts with praise. Into His gates with thanksgiving. Into His courts with praise. So of the body, praise, the word praise in Hebrew means jumping, dancing like David did, dancing in the street in his underwear. It actually means to behave yourself quite foolishly because you're boasting and praising the Lord. Don't let anyone condemn you for the way you praise the Lord, because we've not yet attained to where David was, I don't believe. I don't see anybody dancing in the street in their underwear, and I'm not promoting that either. But to rave, to boast in God. That's praise. It's not the same as worship. We say praise and worship, they're two different things and two different words, even in English. So praise is when you show forth and boast in the Lord. And that is scriptural. He wants us to do that. But worship, when you enter into the Holy of Holies, in the presence of God. Now you say, well, if we're always in the presence of God, then why should we enter into the Holy of Holies if we're already there? Good question. That's what I asked the Lord. Well, he said, then why do I ask you to pray? Why do I ask you to spend time alone with me? Why do I ask you to enter into your prayer closet? Why do I want to commune with you? So there's a deeper, higher walk in God. And he wants to commune with you personally. And when you enter into worship, at least in my experience, the few times that I have, there was no dancing. There was nothing of the flesh, of the body, I should say, so that I won't be misunderstood. There was nothing of my own mind, even, or my own feelings. It was an awesome presence of God, so mighty and so strong, that I have trembled. I have fell on my face as if dead. So that's worship. That's entering to the Holy of Holies. And that's what so many churches and so many places, they never enter in to the fullness. Praise is what gets you in the gates, into the outer courts and into the holy place even. You can even be in the holy place. You're still, you know, I talked about the candlestick and the table. You're still doing things in there. But when you get into the Holy of Holies, that's worship.